Thankful to be here. Thankful for the privilege of meeting with the Lord and with His people, for Him to meet with us. Ask for an interest in your prayers this afternoon. Lord will bless the portion of word that He's feel like He's given me to share with you. It'll be a blessing and a challenge to each one of us. I'd like to begin in the book of Judges. Judges, the first chapter, look a little bit of the history of the children of Israel. We know that the Lord had a beautiful plan for His people, for Israel. He had promised it generations before unto Abraham, and it was a promise, it was something distant that they looked for, that they believed in, and they knew that the Lord had promised them a land that was to be their own, that flowed with milk and honey. I'd like to look here at the first chapter of Judges, and we'll read beginning here in the 27th verse. It says, "Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." If we back up a little bit more, you remember the Lord had told the children of Israel, had given them instruction of the way that they were to take the Canaan land. He said, whenever you go into the land, that you're to destroy utterly the inhabitants of it. You're not to spare, you're not to, from compassion or from laziness or from any other reason, to stop short of completely conquering the land as you go into it. And He had told them that if you look out and lift up your eyes, that every place that you see, I've given unto you, and every place that you put the sole of your foot, it's yours for your possession. It's yours for you to take, and I've promised to give it unto you. Read in the second chapter of Judges a little bit of that instruction. It says in the second verse, "Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, but ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be as a snare unto you." The Lord and His promise unto the children of Israel is as all of His promises, many of them are. His blessing to us, He says that if you follow after me, the willing and the obedient, they shall inherit the good of the land. If you're willing to go and possess the land, if you're willing to go put your foot down, it's yours. There's no people that's able to stand before you. There's no walls that are high enough to be able to withstand your being able to take the land. It's promised unto you. So Caleb, by faith, even as an old man, said, "It's mine. Give me this mountain. I want to go and possess what the Lord has for me." But it says here that the children of Israel didn't do that. They stopped short. And it said that some of the Canaanites, they put out to tribute instead. In other words, you pay us taxes and realize that you're subject unto us now. And that's good enough. Man has many times tried to find alternatives, shortcuts to what the Lord says. This is good enough. This is far enough. And so Saul, whenever he went up against the Amalekites, he almost completely followed the Lord. He almost completely conquered. Have you ever stopped to think about some of the instructions the Lord gave the children of Israel? Sometimes it's seemed hard for me to understand. Lord, even the children, even the animals, you said don't spare anything. Lord, how could such a loving and a compassionate and a merciful God give a commandment like that? How could you require that of your people? But you know, I believe the Lord wanted us to be able to understand who He is. The Lord wanted us to be able to gain a picture. And so we see later on, we see of the law that the Lord had given, that it was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was to give us an image or a picture of what the Lord wanted to be able to do within our lives and within our hearts. My burden this afternoon is about pursuing the enemy. The Lord wants us to be able to have an understanding of what it means to do warfare against the enemy of our soul. Of what it means whenever I am coming up against an enemy that desires to do nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do you know that's not an enemy that you can negotiate with? It's not an enemy that you can reason with. It's not an enemy that you can come to a contract and say, okay, I'll give you a little space of room if you'll just respect. And remember now that I'm the master. It doesn't work that way. And the Lord understood that. So He told the children of Israel, I want to tell you right up front, as you go into the land, don't spare. As you go in, and maybe your heart would be compelled to go 99% of the way, but I'll just spare the king. I'll just spare the children. I'll just spare, the Lord said, no. I want you to go and utterly drive them out. I want you to go and completely cast down their idols and their groves, a complete warfare. Because the Lord is interested in us being successful. The Lord is interested in us making heaven our home. And He knows that there is a persistent devil. There is one that is not willing to abide by any conventions of warfare. He's not willing to conduct himself as a gentleman. He has his sights set on our complete destruction. So the Lord's picture to us of warfare is in this. You utterly drive them out. So we look at what warfare is. We understand in Ephesians that it's not flesh and blood. That's not what we wrestle with. But there's a spiritual power. There's a spiritual influence. There is an influence and a power of darkness at work in this world. You know, sometimes the biggest enemy that I face looks a lot like me. The enemy trying to work through self and trying to work in areas that he can disguise himself as my own thoughts and desires. Joshua was used mightily of the Lord. But you know, there was a time that Joshua made a serious mistake. Because he also had these same instructions. They went into the land of Canaan. If you'll recall, the Lord had given Jericho into their hands. And the news very quickly spread to the other cities and people in the land of Canaan. These are a people to fear. We're not able to stand. Our chariots are nothing before them. Our weapons of war don't do anything against the God of these people. You know, that should be a comfort to every one of us. Regardless of the time and the circumstances of our world today, our God is still the same. He's still a God that has victory for His people. If we're willing to follow Him, it's not broken. He hasn't lost His power. Holiness is not relegated to the dusty bookshelves of yesteryear. But there is still power for us today as God's people. And the song we heard said, Lord, let it start with me. Lord, help me to be the place where this begins. Because I can hear things like this and say, Lord, it's good. I love the stories of David and Goliath and of the faith that he had and how he ran forth with courage to meet his giant. But then the time comes whenever I face my giant. When I leave from here And sometimes I may not realize this is my Goliath. And now I'm facing my opportunity. Lord, help me to have the same determination. Because, you know, David didn't just scare Goliath off. But he killed him. He didn't just sink the stone into the forehead. But do you remember what else he did? He pulled the sword off of his side. And he cut the head off. There was a completeness to the battle. I'm not stopping short. I want to go all the way in this thing. I don't want to go 99% of the way. The Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II, one of the bloodiest battles in the Pacific theater. The enemy was entrenched within caves and tunnels and a network beneath the island. You know, it wasn't enough for those Marines to go and just fire upon the outside of the hill, upon those that they saw. It wasn't enough to chase them back into the caves, because they'd come right back out. When darkness was come, they were still there and they were still contending with them. But they had to be willing to have a determination that they launched into that warfare, and we're not stopping until we've conquered completely. May the Lord help us that we be challenged this afternoon in my spiritual battles. Lord, the giants that I face, I don't want to just be content to say, well, Lord, it looks like he's turned around now. It looks like he's backed off a little bit, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to be able to have a determination. I don't want to be like Paul said, as one that just beats the air without purpose, without accomplishing anything. I don't want to be one that is just always reacting to the battle. To pursue the enemy is about more than just being on my defense. Offense is nothing unless you can defend yourself. But it's about taking the battle to the devil, about having a complete determination to conquer the enemy in those areas of my life that I would battle with him. So I'd like to fast forward a little bit here in Judges. Let's read here in the 6th chapter. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. You know, that doesn't sound like what the Lord promised. That doesn't sound like the promise that he gave to Abraham. It doesn't sound like what he promised as the children of Israel were there weighing whether to go into the Canaan land. But that's the place that they were in. That was reality for them at that moment. They're hiding back in the caves for fear of their life. Was that the promise? Was that what the Lord had for them? You know, I say the Lord has a greater victory for us today than to have to live in the dens and the caves for fear. Who were all their lifetime in fear, they were subject to bondage because of fear. That we don't live in subjection to the bondage of fear. That I don't have to live hidden away in a cave somewhere, afraid to stick my head out in the light of day. But there was a reason why the children of Israel were here. Notice that it wasn't because the Lord broke his promise. It wasn't because the Lord's power was lacking or his arm was shortened. It was because the children of Israel drew up short. It was because they came to a point that they said, this is enough. We heard this morning about mediocrity, of coming to a point that I get complacent and comfortable in my life. It's good enough. It's good enough. The enemy's gone away for a little while now. I'm not facing the heat of battle now. The Lord has victory for his people. The Lord wants us to be able to conquer the enemy of our soul. And those places in our lives that he would pop up time and time again. So it says that they the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. They were hiding in the caves and the dens, and the Midianites went and set fire or destroyed their crops. Them and the Amalekites, they came and destroyed the substance that was left, that which was to sustain their life. They destroyed it. They wiped it out. They were in a place that they were cowered down in fear, and they weren't able to defend the things, the possession that the Lord had said, this is theirs. It's a little bit of a different picture, isn't it? Then while we read of the children of Israel marching triumphantly into the land, and of the people, the inhabitants of the land, in fear before them, spoke a little bit about Joshua. Whenever the Lord had told him, go up into the land and don't spare, don't make a league with the inhabitants of the land. But there came up some men from Gibeon. And they came with very old shoes and moldy bread and holes in their clothes. And they said, we be come from a far country. Now make a league with us. Let me appeal unto your compassion. Let me pull on your heartstrings a little bit. You can't destroy us. Have mercy on us. And it says Joshua inquired not of the Lord. Joshua looked on that situation and said, it's good enough. I understand, it's easy to see. May the Lord help us not to get into a place that I get complacent, that I get careful, that I think I've got this. I've got things under control. I've got the enemy pretty much driven out now, and I'm riding all right. Take heed. He that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. May the Lord help us that we be of this determination, of this desire. Satan, I'm not letting you off that easy. I'm not going to let, because you're going to come right back. We can read in 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, that the Syrians had come and besieged Samaria. And the Lord gave the Syrians into the hand of his people. They won a victory there. But it says that the prophet of Israel came unto the king. And he said, mark what thou doest. Go and strengthen thyself. Because of the return of the next year, the king of Syria will be back. Be careful. Be on your guard. You know the temptation for us or human nature is whenever the battle lets up, I let up. You ever play tug of war with a dog? Take a little rope or a cloth or something, and a dog that has hold of it, especially a good, strong, big dog, you can't hardly pull it out of their mouth. But you let up just a little bit and watch the dog. Let a little bit of the tension out of that rope, and the dog relaxes his grip. And it gives you the moment to come in and pull it out of the mouth. You think the devil ever operates that way? To step back long enough for me to get relaxed, for me to get comfortable and complacent and off my guard, for him to be able to come back in and work when I least expect him. So the prophet told the king of Israel, said, go and mark. Be careful. Now is the time to fortify yourself. Now is the time. The battle's not over. The war, can we say, is not over. There's still an enemy that you're going to face, and he'll be back. You can know the temptation is going to come again. You can know that the battle is going to wage itself against you again. So go prepare for the battle today. Go and be strategic in your warfare against the enemy. Lord, help me and teach my hands to fight. Folks, every one of us have a battle. And I know sometimes it can seem abstract in our minds whenever we hear about warfare and a spiritual battle. But may the Lord reveal to every one of us where the battle is, where the enemy's working in my own life, where there are things that continually cause me problems. I don't want to get to a place of mediocrity where I say, I'm willing to abide in the land. With this, it's just the way that it is. This is their land also. It's who I am. There's nothing I can do about it. And so I give them that space. But what the Lord warned Israel about, is that they're going to be a snare to you. If you don't go and deal with the problem at the very root of it, don't just deal with it on a superficial surface level. Folks, our victories are about more than just feeling relief. It's about more than just, I feel better now. I feel relieved that I'm not facing this. Or, you know, even those in the world. We heard a little bit about godly sorrow this morning. The sorrow of the world says, I'm sorry I was caught. It says, I'm sorry, I hate the consequences that I'm facing from this. But the scripture also says that the man that, the one that hardens his neck, scripture is escaping me, being often reproved, he hardens his neck. No, I'm thinking of another one. I'm thinking of the one that says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of them are set fully within them. Because I've gotten in a place that, and I remember talking to a young person whenever I was one as well. They had gotten themselves, they had turned from the Lord, and they got themselves into trouble, and nobody knew it yet. They came to me distressed and very troubled and said, Clint, pray with me. He said, pray that I'll get out of this situation. I'm scared. I don't want to face this. I don't want to have to deal with this. And so we tried to pray together, and it turned out that things went the way that he wanted. And things went smoother for him, and he was able to get out of that jam that he was in. But you know, it wasn't a godly sorrow. It wasn't a determination that said, I'm in trouble here. I'm in trouble because of myself. The failure is not of the Lord. It's not the Lord's fault, but I got myself into this. I didn't fully follow the Lord. And now I'm in trouble. Instead, he wanted to just feel a superficial, just get me out of trouble. Just let me not get caught on this. There's something deeper than that. There's something more that's not just a superficial being able to feel an absence of trouble. But I want to have a determination in my spiritual battles. Lord, help me not to fall for the wiles of the devil. Help me not whenever it looks like he's turned around. You remember the story of the Trojan horse? Whenever the enemy came in and they brought the large horse and it looked like they had turned around and sailed back out. They said, the battle's over, the victory is ours. Wasn't that easy? Folks, our battles are the Lord's, but there's a part that we have to play. It's not, whenever he says stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, it doesn't mean we're in the easy chair saying, Lord, let me know when you're done. Let me know when you're finished with this one. But there's a part that we have to play. And sometimes the battle is standing still. Sometimes it is the submission in the battle that's the part that I have to play. So the Lord can give victory. So the children of Israel were in a predicament here. The Lord, as he so often did, would hear their cry and their distress, and he sent a deliverer. Revealed himself, won't read it all for the sake of time, but he sent an angel to Gideon. Began talking to him and let him know that I want to deliver my people. That's not the place I want them to be in. I don't want them to have to be hiding in the hills and hiding in the caves and afraid for their life. I've got something more for them than that. I've got a greater victory for them than that. Gideon, I want to show myself strong again. I want to give victory and deliverance to my people again. And so he did. If you'll remember the story, he sent him out and was it 32,000 men, I believe, that started out with him, and he began narrowing it down more and more. He said, no, I don't want Israel to think that their hand got them this battle. Folks, we can take courage to know in our battles, it's not about me being able to work my own way through it. It's not about being able to self-improve enough to rise up above it. There are things in our lives, battles that we face, giants that we face, that we cannot overcome and conquer of ourselves. But there is a God that's able and wants to reveal himself and show himself strong to every one of us. got a better plan for you than that. It's not working for you, is it? They could have said, Lord, you told us we'd go into the land and it'd be ours. This doesn't sound like it. This doesn't sound like what? There's nothing to it. There's nothing to this plan of salvation and sanctification. I don't have the real victory that I want. The problem isn't on the Lord's part. Lord, help me to search myself. Is there a place that I have made a leak somewhere in my life? That I've drawn up short and I said, I don't really want to deal with that. I don't really want to get to the very root of the problem. I want to just say, Lord, help me feel better about it. Lord, help me to feel a peace about it. But I'm not willing for the Lord to get in and really do the deep down surgery that He needs to do to cut some things off. I'd like to fast forward now to the victory. This is the part of the story that we like. Gideon had told the 300 that were left with him, divided them up into three companies found in the 7th chapter and the 16th verse. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come on the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so ye shall do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord. And Gideon, what a foolish thing to do in the eyes of the world. That's not the way that you learn warfare, by going to West Point. That's not the methods of warfare that Gideon probably would have chosen. But the Lord is the one that orders the battle, if we'll follow Him in complete obedience. And that's what they did. Whenever the time came, they broke the pitchers and they sounded the trumpets. And it says the Lord put a confusion within the camp. And every man, if you read the account, it sounds like there was just complete mayhem and confusion. And every man began to turn on his own brother. And those that remained set began to run. So let's look now, 21. They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. You know, that seems like victory, doesn't it? The Lord's given victory. Look at them go. Boy, they're running off with their tail between their legs. They're scared. They're running. We're the conquerors. We're the victors in this situation. But you know, the victory wasn't won yet. It says that they began to pursue. They gathered themselves, 23, together out of Naphtali and Asher and Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters to Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. They began to pursue the enemy. They had a determination. We sang a song that says that we turn the battle to the gates. Isaiah talks about that as well. I believe in the 28th chapter. That he would be strength unto them that turn the battle to the gates. You know what it's referring to? I believe it's referring to, I don't just fight the enemy whenever he comes within the walls of the city. But whenever I engage with the enemy of my soul, I don't want to stop until I pursued him all the way back to the gates of his own city. In other words, I want to deal with the root of the problem. Whenever I find places in my life that I stumble, that I'm weak, that I feel like I'm not where I need to be, Lord, this doesn't sound like the full plan that you have for me. I don't want to be willing to just accept a superficial answer. But I want to be of the desire of heart. Lord, I'm pursuing. I'm running after Him. I'm not going to stop until I have overtaken the enemy. Lord, I want to know that I've conquered whatever it is down in here. And sometimes it takes some digging. Sometimes it takes some seeking the Lord. Lord, help me to know, what is it about myself? It's hard for me to see myself. But Lord, show me those places in my life that are a stronghold of the enemy. It's the places that the enemy, whenever the battle's getting hot on him, he'll go and duck out of sight in hopes that I'll let up. Lord, I want to pursue the devil in my life to his very hiding place and say, I know where you are. I know what it is. The Lord has revealed to me where you're hiding, and I know what you're trying to do here. I want to go after those places in my life that I realize the enemy's using this. The enemy has found something that he can draw on in my life. So they began to pursue. Let's look now at the 8th chapter. 8:3, God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeeb. What was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when they had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. You know, sometimes we'll get to feeling faint. Sometimes I just don't feel like fighting. There are times that I feel like shouting. There are times that I feel like rejoicing. But there are other times in the battle I'm just worn out. I just feel like sitting back and relaxing. The danger, one of the dangers of our times, is complacency. That I get into a place that I just want to settle down. I just want everything to be calm and comfortable around me. Don't stir the waters up. Don't stir the enemy. I just want to be able to relax. To just take a deep breath. It says that these men, though they were faint, they were still pursuing. And I want to leave us with that challenge this afternoon. May the Lord help every one of us that we would be of this mindset. Even when I'm weak, even when I'm faint, when I don't feel like fighting, when I feel like rejoicing because the enemy has turned and run away, Lord, help me to keep pursuing. Forward, forward is the battle cry. It's not calling victory whenever the enemy is still on the other side of the hill. Forward, forward is the battle cry. And may the Lord make it real and personal to every one of us, to reveal to us. Lord, teach me what this means in my battles, in my heart, in the giants that I face. That's why I believe David said, teach my hands to war. I'd like to look at 2 Samuel before we close. 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. Beginning with the 38th verse. This was the song or testimony of David after the Lord had given him victory over Saul and his enemies. He said, I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me, thou hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. David's determination and his testimony was that I had pursued. Lord, I pursued until I conquered, until I cut the head off, until I knew that you had given me victory, until I knew that I had truly conquered in this area of my life. He continued to pursue. Remember the story in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter? I'm sorry, 2 Kings. Whenever Joash had come to Elisha on his deathbed, and the enemy, the Syrians, again had been very troublesome. They didn't have victory over them. And the Syrians were continuing to be a thorn in their side. You know, as a side note again about Joshua, the decision that they made back there with the men of Gibeon followed after them for generations to come. Because they had to honor that vow they made. And whenever the enemy was there in their land, generate their children and their children's children after that, they were still there warring with those men that they had made a league with and the offspring of those men. But as Joash came unto the prophet, you remember the story, he gave him a bow and arrows and said, smite or shoot at the ground. And he did it once, two times, three times, and then he stopped. And he chastised him. He said, because you did it only three times and you stopped, there's a limit to the victory that you're going to have. There's a limit to the extent of victory that you'll be able to have over the enemy. You're not going to be able to completely subdue and conquer them. Your heart's not really in this. You want the benefits of it, but you don't really want and aren't really willing to engage in complete warfare, to follow or pursue after the enemy until you've conquered him. The Germans had a policy that they rolled out in 1943 that became known as total war, that we're desperate now. We're at a place that we realize the advantage is against us, and we're desperate to win. It's all-out warfare. It's total war. Folks, we're living in dangerous times today. The enemy has set his sights on every one of us. May the Lord help us to be determined. It's total war. I'm willing to pursue after the enemy. I'm willing to go all the way until he's fallen. And folks, I'm not saying that I'm going to conquer and win a victory today and I don't face the devil again till the rest of my life. But I want to conquer in this place. I want to destroy his strongholds. And then when the tomorrow's battle comes, I'll be able to face and fight that battle as well. I'm thankful that God is a God of victory. He has victory for his people. Lest we should ever get discouraged in our battles. As the enemy likes to come along and say, look where I've got you now. Look where I've got you. This thing isn't working out very well for you, is it? This isn't really as satisfying. It's not really as fulfilling as you've always heard that it would be, is it? That I would be determined, like Christian, to reach down and pick up the sword and say, you will not triumph over me. In the name of the Lord, there's victory. And I want to rise and I want to have a determination that I'm going to pursue after them in the name of the Lord. To be of a mind and of a heart that I'm going to pursue after the enemy. I'm not just going to wait until he brings the battle to me. But Lord, help me by the Holy Spirit. Give me discernment and understanding to know where the enemy is lying in wait. To be able to prepare for the battle. To be able to conquer him. May the Lord help us that we be encouraged to pursue after the enemy. Amen.